This is Steve Hurley, and welcome to the Pivotal Outdoors Podcast, discussing hunting, fishing, and outdoor pursuits, swapping stories and feeling alive. Right now, we are into late February, and many deer hunters across the country may be looking to fill that outdoor void. Deer season has ended, and trout and turkey haven't started yet, but right now is a great time to get out into the woods to look for deer sheds and start scouting for the fall. Today, I'm joined by Craig Slommers of 2D Outfitters and Ben Porter, a shed hunting fanatic. We're going to discuss their approach to shed hunting and how they may use that knowledge gained for planning their fall hunts. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate you having me on, and I'm lucky I got my best friend and best hunting buddy of all time, Ben, sitting here right beside me, so this is pretty cool.
Yeah, looking forward to it, and Nice talking to you, Steve. So should be fun.
So. Yeah. So for the listeners, Craig, he was on a previous podcast. He has 2D Outfitters. He's a guide out in Western PA. He's got all kinds of whitetail experience, and he actually recommended, like, "Hey, we should talk about sheds." And so I was like, "All right, I want to get after it." And like he just said, Ben Porter's a good friend of his. Ben, do you want to give the listeners a little more about your background, what you're into, what kind of things you like to do in the outdoors?
Yeah, absolutely. Grew up really close to Craig. We were neighbors, actually, when we were kids, and pretty much just grew up hunting and fishing pretty much every day. Any chance we could get, we'd run off the school bus to grab our fishing poles or grab our archery gear and head in the woods. So pretty much anything outdoors that I can get into, I try and do it. So. Just continuing it and living the dream, I guess, hunting and fishing as much as I can. So, yep.
Craig was saying you're a shed hunting fiend, where you got a knack for finding them. You've had some success. Can you talk about that at all? I mean, do you roam private, public, both?
Both. I've found sheds, private, public, you know, big farms. And I've also found them in urban areas. You know, I've found them, honestly, road sheds. You know, I've seen them driving down the road before. I pretty much found them every way that you can imagine find them. I found them steelhead fishing when I was up going to school up in Edinburgh. We were steelhead fishing tributaries into the Kamata Lake Erie, and I found them while I was steelhead fishing before, believe it or not. So just... You just never know where you are going to find them, but there is knacks, and there is certain times to look for them, obviously, and some spots are better than others, I believe. So,
hey, Steve, I gotta let you and the other listeners know, though, too, a little secret is Ben has, like, insanely good eyes, so he has a little bit of an unfair advantage against the rest of us, because I don't know about that. This dude can see stuff like, It'll take you 5 minutes to find it, and he'll be trying to tell you. You know what I mean? He's just got really good. He's got a little edge up on the rest of us.
I don't know about that. It's really, I mean, the best advice, the number one best advice I could give anybody who's just getting into the shed hunting is, I mean, a lot of it's just mileage. You know what I mean? It's willing to get out there and, put the boots on the ground and just put the miles in, because you're not going to find them if you don't go look, you know? So that's the number one thing, is just get out there and go. But there is different knacks, and I'm sure we'll touch on that stuff as we go along.
Yeah. Sounds good. So my first question for you guys, and this might vary depending on region, but when to go shed hunting? Well, you know, the sheds hit the ground. If you let them sit too long, squirrels or get to them, or porcupines, you might be out there pushing around and they haven't dropped yet. When do you guys really look like, hey, I'm hitting shed hunting like this week or so?
Well, there can be a couple things to that. You know, kind of a unique thing that we have here in Pennsylvania is we have an elk herd in central PA in Benazet. So if you want to go find some elk sheds, you're going to be in a crowd, and there's actually some people out there that take time off of work to go follow the big herds of elk, because it's a big competition to get a bull elk shed when it hits the ground. So if that's something you're into, I'm just using the elk herd in central PA as an example of like a high pressure area. If you're going to be on public land or following an elk herd, you know, they're kind of the same thing. You're going to have competition out there. And if you want to find the sheds, you're going to have to be out there earlier than everybody. So, you know, you better be prepared to hunt the same area a couple times, even if it is early in the year. We'll say, you know, late January, beginning of February, then the whole way through March, maybe when some people think it's too early. But just depend on what kind of pressure you have. Is gonna be, you know, the deciding factor there. If you have private land and you don't mind picking up a shed that has little nicks, some nicks taken out from squirrels and stuff like that, then, you know, I wouldn't get in too big of a hurry to get out there. I know we're all looking for stuff to do in late winters, outdoorsmen and things like that. But it's kind of you know, it depends on your situation. I don't know, Ben.
I agree with what Craig said. Public to private is a little bit different. I think public, the sooner the better. I think a good general rule of thumb is that most shed hunters follow is right around, I mean, in my opinion, February 1st is when really people start ramping up to go shed hunting. But I think public land, I wouldn't be so concerned with bumping deer and things like that. Private, that's a whole nother ball game. I mean, you could probably start, you know, mid-February. As far as like if you had a really good private piece and stuff like that.
And you mean you don't want to bump a deer off and he drops his shed on the neighbor's piece instead of your piece?
I mean, that's a possibility. Yeah. I mean, to make sure you have your best odds of taking that bone home, right, is because it's not going to hurt to wait a little longer. If you're the only person that's accessing that ground, they're going to be there. Like I said, they might be chewed a little bit, but I haven't found too many, and I found quite a few. I haven't found any that are really chewed up extremely bad or anything like that. So, but yeah, like public, I would definitely be hitting it harder in the earlier parts of February than my private spots. So I'd start with that. You know what I mean? I'd start with your public pieces where you know that you've had success in the past and pick those places apart before I would my private pieces. That's for sure. Because there is other guys that, that shed hunt. One of Craig's cousins shed hunts, very good shed hunter, and he hunts a lot of the same places that I would look and stuff like that. So, but to each is their own. You know, if he finds a good one or I find a good one, it's all kind of shared along the way, so to say. But yeah, I would definitely hit the public stuff first, and I think February 1st is just a good general rule of thumb, because that kind of marks when they really start, in my opinion, that you can start finding bone on the ground. Not that you can't find it, you know, in January 1st, you know, because it does happen. And a lot of the times, if you find a shed really early on, I think, which people do seem to find them up north a little earlier on, I think the deer just rut a little harder in the big woods than they do around here. And that gets in the, I don't want to get off topic, but to me, I mean, I have my own theories and stuff. And I just think buck to doe ratio, I think there's a lot more does down this way than there is up north, and I don't think the bucks have to rut quite as hard. But so I think that you know, it depends on when they lose their testosterone. You can have a wounded deer that'll lose its antlers really early because he's just low on testosterone. And I have a example of that I can say now or I can say later. My uncle killed a buck in muzzleloader season one time, and it already shed half its rack, and I waited a couple weeks and I went back in because it was a little honey hole on some private ground. I knew it was good. It was thick in there, had some little pockets of fields and stuff, great bedding area, and was able to actually find the other side to that deer. So, and that was obviously dropped in late December. So right nice. After Christmas. Yeah.
Did,
so
did you give that to your uncle or did you hold on to it?
I did. Yeah. I gave it to him.
Okay. Shout out Uncle Dean.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, so yeah, I did that for him. And I actually picked up a couple other ones that day, and picked up a really nice 5-point side that day as well. And that was a pretty urban area, you know what I mean? So to say, I mean, it was in a more urban area than most places. So, but there was quite a few sheds in there, and I think that says something because those deer pocket in those places because they know it's safe. I mean, realistically, Pennsylvania is one of the most pressured states there is, you know, hunter wise, it's just, there's guys everywhere all the time hunting. So, private or public, just the way that PA is laid out, you know, a lot of 40 acre parcels and stuff. So there's a lot of pressure. So I think you find some of those pockets like that, you're going to find sheds. There's no doubt. So, yeah.
So you mentioned as early as December and January because of testosterone conditions and everything.
Yep.
Are there weather conditions, or do you just go out? You guys just go out whenever you have free time, or are you waiting for, you know, are there issues with snow, or are you looking for different conditions?
Yeah, I mean, yeah absolutely. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, if you get dumped on and you have a late storm that comes in and you get a ton of snow dumped on you, it's not going to be really good shed hunting conditions. Obviously, it's going to be really hard to find bone in conditions like that. So kind of actually today's February 17th. So if anybody's listening, they can kind of track where we're at here. But 2 days ago, I think we had a 55 degree day here. Bright, clear, and sunny. Actually, it was yesterday. It's the 16th, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And me and my girlfriend and I went out. We didn't find any sheds, but the conditions were perfect. The snow was there was only about an inch on the ground. So if there was one laying there, you'd be able to see it. It was just nice weather to be outside. So I don't think weather is really driving when antlers are falling off the deer. I think weather is just going to be more of a comfort factor for the shed hunter.
Amen. Yeah, I agree with that, Sam. I mean, weather absolutely can play a role in finding them. Your success is not going to be nearly as good in a foot of snow as it is without, you know, with a half an inch of snow, you know. And just like I truly believe, like, today would have been an excellent day. This morning before the rain came in here in 2D would have been a great morning to go, because I actually look for an overcasty day. I don't care for a sunny day. Overcasty, and after this heavy snow that we had, you know, we had up to a foot of snow.
Great point.
What that does is it pushes all that grass down, any of these native grasses or wheat fields or things that are around these fields. I do a lot of field shed hunting. I found them in woods. I found them in brush and stuff like that. And we can touch on that later on. But as far as the weather, like, after that snow pushes, a lot of guys call it burns that brush down. It burns it down. It pushes it down. And I mean, today would have been an excellent day to go. There's no doubt about it, because you want that overcast day. And even with a slight rain like that, those antlers will actually shine a little bit with a little bit of moisture on them. So
that's good stuff. Right there.
Today would have been an excellent day to go. So, yep. So I do think weather, as far as, like Craig said, I don't think weather, depending. I mean, maybe if you were in Canada or something like that, where it's super harsh the whole winter long, that'd be different. Maybe influence on the shed a little bit earlier. But I think weather more or less plays a role when you should be out there looking for them, as far as looking. So, okay.
Yeah. So are you guys, I know you shed hunt in various places, but do you use trail cameras, or do you watch fields with binos and then you're almost like taking inventory on who shed or how many bucks you're seeing, or if you're not seeing any bucks, or if you're seeing pedicles? Does that factor into how you conduct yourself at all?
Hey, for me personally, no, I don't run trail cameras to try to find out. But what's really interesting, you said that, is my neighbor last week told me he was heading out to go shed hunt his piece because he got a picture of a buck two nights in a row. And the first night, the buck had both antlers, and the next night, same buck came in, he was missing one. And it might have been three nights in a row, and then the last night he was missing all of them. So he knew the sheds, he knew the exact dates, and, you know, his trail camera told him which way that deer was coming in. And right now in PA, you can bait during the off season. So that's actually an interesting thing that I've never really thought about before. But if you could bait out in front of your trail camera, you could actually watch your deer and track your bucks and see when their sheds are falling off and know the exact time going there and shed hunt. It's nothing I've ever done in the past, but that's a great question. I've never thought about that before. It's interesting.
I think that would definitely work if you had a very private section that was very controlled, and food plots and good food source, like late late season food sources that we're in, absolutely you could do that. So, and I think a lot of guys in the Midwest do that. It's just hard to compare. I'm just a stickler on that. It's hard to compare Pennsylvania to the Midwestern states. And me and Craig have both hunted the Midwest and stuff. And it's a real treat if you get a chance to go do it. That's great. And Pennsylvania has great hunting too. It's just a whole nother animal, in my opinion. Yeah.
Do you just kind of hit previous areas where you've hunted before, or are you looking for cover? Or is feed coming into play? You know, going off of previous knowledge, or are you going just miles and just covering every deer trail you can and looking for certain, like vegetation stuff?
Yeah. I think your biggest things to follow a lot, like you said, I mean, you'll find good previous spots, and like, I want to say they are good year to year. It is funny. You can find sheds there year to year, not all the time, but seems like you can find them there year to year in certain pockets. The main things that I focus on, and Craig can touch on this stuff too as well, I focus on bedding, and then I focus on food source. So, and then you got your area in between from your bedding to your food source, and that changes, you know, in the late season and stuff like that. Obviously, your food sources are different in the late season than actually during early season or preseason and stuff. But yeah, I focus on mainly those two areas, primarily. The bedding areas, which in most cases here in PA, they're in the woods, thickets, stuff like that. Sides of the slope of the hillside where the sun's hitting it a lot in the winter. You know, that's as bucks are taking a lot of that sun in, wanting to bed on that side, and then on the food source. So those are my two primary areas that I look. And I did make some pretty good observations, like over, see, I worked for a local gas company, and at the time, I don't work there now anymore. I switched positions at a different place. But and that was when a lot of the Marcellus drilling was going on around here, and a lot of the pipelines that they were putting in. Well, they would reclaim those pipelines a lot of times with clover and grasses and stuff like that. And I found it really interesting that they would stay green throughout the winter, just like your yard is underneath that, you know, the snow. It's still fairly green compared to everything else that's out there. And I found a pile of sheds on that clover as soon as, and right now, like middle of February. So I mean, anything that's green like that, it's just an observation I made in Pennsylvania. Those deer are hitting it, and you're gonna find sheds there.
I'm glad you said that. I was gonna try to bring it up if Ben didn't bring that up, but he told me a couple years ago, and it stuck with me. Ben, he said, whatever's green, that's where you should start looking. If you're looking across a massive hillside or a field or whatever, and the snow's just melting off, and you can start to see the ground a little bit, if there's patches of green stuff, and you're have a, you know, time limit or whatever, if you had to focus on one area, it would be to go to where that green stuff is.
Yeah, you can.
I thought that was great.
The deer were just in there pawing that up compared to everything else. I mean, that's where the food was. That's what they were hitting. And I mean, I don't know how to compare it. It's just like, I guess, a fresh salad to them. You know what I mean? Yeah, so yeah, that's they're going to be out there after. And I found a lot of sheds. Like I said, the 2/3 of them in green fields or green areas reclaimed or remediated pipelines, you know, that they put in, that I'm not talking a couple years, I'm talking fresh, you know what I mean? That fresh planting of, they just reclaimed it in that year. So I thought that was interesting, but it was definitely good. And this is pretty neat too. This was actually on public land, and this is pretty cool. It was a winter wheat field. So that was in rotation. So the farmer just rotated in winter wheat for soil conditions for his next planting season. And winter wheat fields are really good too, because they're green in the winter as well. So dead in the middle, and it was a pretty big field, dead in the middle of this field. This is the only time it's happened to me, but there was actually 4 sheds within a 3-foot radius in the dead middle of this field. And they were actually, they were laying as if they just shed off the buck, like as if you had them in your hands, like you were holding the deer's rack. They were both laying facing each other, in a 3-foot radius, about a foot apart in the dead middle of that field. I thought that was pretty. Yeah.
That's wild.
I actually sent that. I sent a Snapchat to my buddy that lived in Iowa for a little bit, and he moved back now, but I sent it to him. He said, believe it or not.
He's
a real big shed hunter. But he told me, believe it or not, that's actually more common than you think. You know, and I believe it in the Midwest, you know what I mean? But he said it's more common than you think, that those bucks were bachelored back up, feeding together, facing each other, may have just tickled their antlers or something together, you know what I mean, as their heads were down, or, you know, feeding in the same spot right there. Maybe tickled their antlers, like I said, a little bit together, but they were both laying. It was pretty neat. So I walked out of there with 4 sheds, you know, real 2 match sets, you know. So I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. Yep. So definitely hit those green sources.
Green is gold.
Yeah, green is good.
You're going to get everyone's hopes up. People are going to listen to this, and they're going to be like, all right, just find a green patch. I'm going to find at least 4.
I mean, if you like look for those areas, if you're like driving down the road and there's a, you know, there's just an old hay field right beside a winter wheat field, and there's a huge thicket on the back side of it, and you can get access to shed hunt there, I'd recommend asking those people, because like on that back tree line or that thick area on the green, they're not, I'm not going to say they're not going to shed in that hay field, but I would bet my odds that they're hitting up the green side. Yep. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a real hot tip.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like that could possibly be a good segue too. Like if you get permission to shed hunt, that's just like a foot in the door, you know? And then you're like, hey, I really appreciate it. You know, this means a lot to me. Show the gratitude, and then.
Yeah,
the excitement. They might be like, "Oh, this guy's—he's a decent dude. Maybe I'll let him hunt here in the fall." You know,
absolutely. The landowners like to see him. You know, and you know, I don't know. It's not like I'm finding giant booner sheds. You know, I've found some good ones, but it's not like I'm finding giant sheds. A lot of, you know, your typical 4 on one side basket rack, so to say, 8-pointer. You know, if you want to throw the landowner a shed, you know, or if they have a dog or something, and for the dog to play with, or if they want to put it on their mantle or their kitchen table, I think that's definitely, like you said, an excellent foot in the door to possibly hunt that property down the road. So, yep. So, yeah that's very good. Yep.
That makes it even a fun story too. Like if, you know, you know that deer's alive. Yeah. And then as you're talking to the landowner, you're like, yeah, hopefully I find, you know, big 10 or something like that. You know, like it kind of adds a little excitement, a little something to talk about and stuff too.
Yeah. There's a, it's not as common around here. You know, Ben said, and I've said it, you know, in the past before, you know, when you get into the Midwest and you get into the giant whitetail areas, I think having the shed history is a little bit more common, and everybody's managing for deer. You can have these 3-4-5 year long histories with deer and have that history. But I mean, even here in Pennsylvania, I mean, if you're a hardcore shed hunter and you're shed hunting areas that you hunt, I mean, there's a really good chance that you're gonna pick up a shed and see that same deer again, that, you know, a short few months later in the summertime on your cameras or glass and fields or whatever. So
yeah, absolutely.
It could be a cool way to build history with the deer that you're actually hunting. And then there's another side of the coin, shed hunting too. Like what I was just talking about, there's a lot of guys out there that have a target buck and they don't get an opportunity of them, and they get super serious back on finding where that deer is, where his core area is throughout the winter, because they're obsessed with finding his sheds now. And you know, there are deer specific shed hunters, and then there's just shed hunters that like to go out and just find whatever's out there. And there's two different styles of shed hunting there. I mean, obviously, you know, a guy like Ben here, you know, he just loves finding sheds. He's going to cover miles and miles of ground everywhere he has permission to be. He's going to go out there to find it. And then there's people that have their own 300-acre piece, and they got that one buck, and they're just looking for his sheds. And you know, it's interesting, but definitely a great way to spend your winter. I mean, we really can't kill nothing right now unless you're trapping. So,
yeah.
Pray, you know, shoot coyotes.
I think.
Oh, speaking of Kai's, dude, you mentioned you have a cool thing.
Yeah, I'll touch on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what Craig, I mean, that deer was there for a reason, too. You know what I mean? If you found a shed there, he was there for a reason. You know, whether it was, like we said, a food source, like it was a green area that he was in there feeding, and that's where he dropped his shed, or if it's a thicket that he felt really comfortable. Because like I said, these deer are pressured. Whether it's a private 200-acre farm, there's a guy that's in there hunting them. You know what I mean? Somebody's in there hunting them, whether it's a cousin, brother's uncle. You know what I mean? Somebody's got access to most likely permission to hunt that deer. So that deer's pressured. You found that deer's shed there for a reason, whether it's in his bedding area, you know. And I'm not going to say he's in that all the time, but he felt safe in that spot at that time after he was hunted, you know what I mean, during the And so you found his shed there for a reason, whether it's a late season food source or he feels really, really, really safe there. So, yep. You know, so I think that's
they can help out.
Can help you out on the following year. What Craig said, you know, if it's a more private piece, absolutely, because chances are you're probably going to be in the area of that deer and have a chance at him somewhere. You might have to figure him out a little bit more, but he went there for a reason, and he shed there for a reason, you know? So.
Yeah. So talking when you guys mentioned Craig, you mentioned the core area and Ben, you're saying he's there for a reason. Looking forward to the fall, would you be setting up your stands between that area and whether if that's a feeding area between that and bedding, or if that's a bedding area, do you position off that, or are you kind of assuming that's only a late season type thing?
Are you saying based off of the shed making plans for
where you found it? Yeah, how would you plan that? Obviously, if it's in the middle of a cornfield, yeah. He was probably just walking by or something, you know, that's not.
I personally wouldn't be making plans on stand locations based off of shed locations, just because throughout the different seasons of the year, deer are doing so many different things. Hanging a stand based off of a found shed would be similar to hanging a stand because you saw a buck somewhere in July. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's not applicable.
Yeah.
Or it'd be very loose, very loose.
There's things that the shed's going to tell you, you know, who's there, who made it, where he's at in the winter. It could reveal a really cool late season food source you didn't know existed previously when you find a shed somewhere. It could show you a small little piece of cover that you didn't realize was ample enough for a deer really pass through. But as far as setting up a stand location off of a shed, I personally don't think there's anything there for that.
Yeah, unless it's in a pretty thick bedding area, I mean, you know that he felt safe in there, and he will feel safe in there again, you know, and if he's pressured. So, I mean, he might go in there. There's a good chance if he resides in that area, like it's a private piece, and you bumped him or something, I mean, he might really like that area as a bedding area. And I suppose you could touch on the fringes of it, you know what I mean? Or it might be, say, on a public spot where you found it in a real thick bedding area spot. And come gun season, when you know the Orange Army's coming in and you're in there before everybody else, and you found three sets of sheds in a thick bedding area on game lands, that might be a good spot to be, you know, the first day of gun season when the bucks come running. So that's a good way to look at it, you know?
Yeah, like a potential sanctuary area. Absolutely. When things get crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so I have a scenario for you guys, a personal scenario. I actually found three sheds today. One was matching, so that was really cool. And it was in a bedding area, but I also bumped a lot of deer out of there. Like 11 deer came running out of there, and I did see a buck take off with the group, basically ran down this ridge, and it's like a small six or it was a six or a small eight. And, it took off like a bat out of hell, and it was jumping over logs, running through greenbriars, all kinds of stuff. And I was watching it the whole time through my binos, just hoping it would just fall off or he'd bump into a brush or when he lands after jumping off a log and something pop off, and it didn't. It basically watched him run out of sight. What would you guys do? Would you guys go in base right away, or would you give it a few days because hopefully he's coming back to this bedding area? And so just for the listeners, I'm in like a suburban area, so it's not like a big open game lands, big woods. This is a lot of residential areas bordering patches of woods, but then bordering a farm, then bordering more residential areas. So it's not like I would travel a mile or two down a ridge. You know, it's a lot smaller. It's a lot chopped up more than that. So what would you guys think should be the approach?
And I'll look at Ben here and see if he agrees with me when I say this, but it sounds like the area that you're in is a lot like the area where Ben and I grew up hunting, you know, suburban. And they don't have that many places to go this time of year. There's not that much food out there this time of year. So if they're somewhere, there's a reason for that. And they're not going to want to abandon that super easily, especially if there's not a ton of pressure in the woods all the time. And right now, there's not a ton of pressure in the woods all the time. So when you have a buck that's found a comfortable food source that's obviously sustaining him, or he wouldn't be there this time of year, he's going to come back to that. Now, let's say you went in there every single day or every other day even, and you were putting on a substantial amount of pressure, then he's probably going to be forced to go find another food source. I would imagine he would vacate the area anyway. It depends on how small we're talking, you know, woodlots you're in. So anyway, I would say that if you went in there and you jumped a deer and you saw that he had his antlers still, that if you came back in two more weeks, you probably have a good chance to find his chest, because he's going to come back to that. Like I said, if you continue to put pressure on the area and jump him all the time, then he probably will leave and you probably won't find his chest, because he'll drop them in an area where you don't know where he's at, or you don't have permission to be there, or something like that. So,
yeah, I'd say you have better odds finding them if you don't push him out of there, you know what I mean, too hard. I'd say he'll probably stay in there close, you know, to that area, unless he's really, really bothered by that. But I'd give it a little bit and then go back in there and find him. You'll probably find other ones too. I think if it all depends too. I mean, if other people are going in there too, you know, other people shed hunt it and they're going to be in there bouncing around and stuff, and it's not going to hurt. Once again, like I said, that the more miles you put on the ground, you might not find those two off that deer, but you might find two off another one. So
that you didn't even
know. Yeah, that you didn't even know was there. So, I mean, really it's just boots on the ground, and it plays out on just how much permission do you have in and around in there? How far can you bounce around? And when you have the time to go, you know what I mean? That, I think, has a lot to play with it. So, yeah, you win some, you lose some, so to say. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Ben, you mentioned, I'm not sure if it was on the recording or not, but you mentioned using dogs. And so you use a dog, correct?
Yeah, sometimes when I feel like getting my truck muddy, you know what I mean? I'll take them, you know. And then when I truck money, I don't take him. But yeah, I trained him when he was a puppy, find sheds, and he's pretty good. I mean, he's not by any means like the best shed hunting dog, but you know, it seems to me like we're about 50-50 when we go out. You know, it seems like I find half of them, he finds half of them, so it definitely helps having a dog. And I mean, bottom line too, I mean, it's nice, the companionship, having your dog out there with you, and good exercise for him and you. And yeah, I mean, definitely you're going to better your odds having a dog. There's no doubt about it. So if you can train one to do it and have another buddy out there shed hunting with you, that's going to bring them back to you and give them to you, that's pretty nice to have.
Do you let him keep any of them? Any like any spikes or anything?
Yeah. Some of the smaller ones, I like letting him have the, like, if I find a little spooned out spike, you know, if you get one that's a little spooned, he seems to like those ones the best because they're a little more rounded, you know, so I'll let him chew on those ones. But yeah, absolutely.
Are there any other hot tips that maybe we haven't talked about, but you guys are thinking like that's something to really key in on?
Yeah, I mean, brushy bedding areas, I mean, without a doubt, that are near a food source. I mean, if they're not in the field, they're probably going to be in that bedding area, or they're going to be between the bedding area and the food source. I just think it's hard to find them between the bedding area and the food source. I mean, they stick out in the field. Even if you like train your eye, they're like really what you're looking for, at least for me in Pennsylvania, because you're not finding giant, you know, 70-inch sheds on one side every turn that you come around. So I'm really training my eye to just see like that 2 to 3 inches of time. And it stands out. Like not like night and day, but it stands out. It's different than the grasses and stuff like that. I mean, I've walked over the pieces of grass and things like that in fields, but it stands out if you know what you're looking for, and more miles that you put on, I think the better your odds inside.
I have a little bit of a tip here, and I'm a little bit hesitant to share because it's not something I barely not because it's the best thing ever, but I just don't have a whole lot of experience with it myself being successful. But I talked to a guy in Illinois that finds a shed every year at a fence crossing, a spot where deer are jumping a wire like pasture fence, and it's one of the first places he goes and looks every year, and he finds a shed there almost every single year because the deer are crossing. They're crossing a creek, they're going up a steep bank, and then they're hopping a fence to get to a food source. It's a fence crossing between a bedding area and a food source, a late season winter bedding area and food source. And he finds one there. So, like I said, I'm a little bit hesitant to share that because it's not something that I've personally had success in. But I did talk to a guy that finds a shed every single year at this almost the exact same spot on his fence where these deer are jumping and crossing. So that's interesting to me.
That makes sense to me. You know, if they're hitting the ground and it's kind of jolting their body a little bit, it might just be just enough to not drop it.
Yeah.
Nice. What do you guys do when you find sheds? Keep them or give them the dogs or sell them or antler artwork or anything, or just hold on to them?
Keep them and give them to the dogs. I think Ben gives most of his away. I think Ben gives it. He has a box down. He walked away here for a second, but he has a box down in his basement full of sheds. And I think Ben gives a lot of sheds away.
I give some away. And then some of the small ones I'll give to my dogs. And then some of the nicer ones, it seems like we use them as like decor around the house and stuff like that. Like I have an end table that has some of the nicer ones that's tiered. It's got like three shelves within it. And I have three of the nicer ones that sit in it. And some of them I just have laying around. And someday, I don't know if I find enough of them, I'd like to build I like those shed Christmas trees. Those are pretty neat. I don't know if you've ever seen those. I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
I'd like to do something like that. So at some point in time. So
then you got to talk into your wife or your family being cool that Christmas tree's up all year.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, that'd be a pretty cool tree though. So I'd be down with it. Yeah. And Craig, you mentioned like the chandeliers. I know that's, those
you know,
are cool
I'm
looking.
Having fun here. Ben grew up in a house. His stepdad is a huge, out West hunter. He would come back with muley sheds. It seems like those guys that go far West, they find so many sheds, but Ben grew up with a shed chandelier. And I'm thinking maybe that's why he's so into shed hunting, is because he probably had to look at that every day when he was a kid. You know, that shed chandelier hanging from the ceiling.
That's true. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I know out West you got, you know, if you're going to the Rockies and stuff, you got big open spaces and mountains, but I would think it's gotta be like finding a telephone pole.
Yeah.
Compared to a small shed, you know,
it definitely helps. A lot of places to hide. Farmland, we have river hills, we have creek bottoms, big timber.
Mountain laurel.
Yeah, it's just...
Oh, tough. Yeah.
I mean, we... Yeah.
When you have nothing but, you know, a 20-acre woodlot and fence row, and then another 20-acre woodlot and nothing but alfalfa and hay fields or cut soybean fields, it's... You can definitely make better time and cover a lot more ground quicker. I mean, some guys use four-wheelers and stuff in the West and cover ground a lot quicker. And yeah, we definitely are in a tough state to find them.
Yeah. Cool. Any other safe rounds, or you think that should be a wrap, or you want to talk about coyotes peeing on sheds?
Yeah. That,
Yeah, I was trying to bring that up.
That's pretty neat. Yeah, just like dogs. I mean, they like to, I got into trapping a little bit this year, and the guy that's kind of teaching me and some of my friends and stuff like that, just a neat observation, like in the snow, it's happened to a couple of us, like you find a shed or something like that, and they're a shed or even a piece of bone, you know, off of an animal that these coyotes like to go up and they scent mark that because it stands out in the field. It's like a feature, and dogs just love bones to begin with, you know, like a urine post, they'll urinate on them. And I found them in the snow, like after a lot of snow's melted, where there's been coyote tracks that went up to them and actually picked the shed. You could see that they flipped the shed around a couple times and then just carried along with their business. So I thought that was pretty neat. So yeah, pretty neat observation. No doubt. I'm glad you brought that one up. So.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a big fan of just getting into things and to really find details and hammering in on things and you know, getting real tactical about stuff. But to keep it simple, I would pay attention to my local deer herd, the deer that I'm hunting, the same way that I'm paying attention to them in the mid to late summer, moving into early season when we can start killing these things. I would be glassing in the evenings. I would be paying attention when I'm driving to and from work, whenever I'm leaving the house, where's my major trail crossings at, and snow, especially, you can see that stuff driving down the road easy. Just pay attention to what the deer herd's doing in the winter. Where are they spending their most time? And then go to those areas and you'll probably find sheds.
Yeah, I think all this stuff is really great info. If someone wanted to reach out to you guys and has any questions or anything, would you guys be up for leaving your contact info?
Yeah, you know, I am. I own 2D Outfitters. I'm always looking for new clients to come in that want to come on a hunt, whether it's for a black bear or a whitetail here in Western PA. You can find me at 2doutfitters.com, 2d.outfitters on Instagram, or 2doutfitters on Facebook. My name's Craig Slomers. You can get on the website, 2doutfitters.com. I have a contact page there with contact information and things like that. You know, Ben is a very good buddy of mine. He doesn't have much social media stuff going on. I don't know if Ben has anything. Like, if somebody wants a question,
yeah, or anything, get a hold of me through Craig. You know, ask Craig, and I'm more than willing to give my input. I spend a lot of my time with Craig, so we're always doing something hunting or fishing. So I'm always with him. There's not a couple of days that go by where I'm not doing something with him. So I'd be more than glad to help out and reach out and through Craig, and I'll be more than glad to help you out.
If anybody wants to ask Ben a question, because he's a better shed hunter than me, I'm sorry to admit it.
I just spent more time doing it.
Get a hold of me, and I'll reach out to him, and we'll link up.
A lot of it's just time and boots on the ground. So that's what it takes. So like I said, you won't find him from the couch, not unless you have a real good pair of binoculars and a great window. Yeah, and a great window
and eyes like you, Ben.
Yeah, and some really good agriculture fields that aren't pressured around yet, but it's possible. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming on, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yep.
Hey, dude, I appreciate you. Let's do another one. You let me know. I'll come on here and talk to you anytime.
Hey, thanks for listening today. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to like and subscribe. And if you'd like to support this podcast to sustain future episodes, feel free to click on the listener support link in the show notes. There'll be more content coming, and if there are any questions or comments, you can reach me on Instagram at Outdoors with Steve or at Pivotal Outdoors.